What's up, everybody? You're now listening in to the Truth Pace Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Jesse. And on today's episode, we got to stop hating on LeBron James. The man opened a school, people. I mean, come on. For real? It's got to end. We're going to get into that. Then we're going to finish it with a story. Not my greatest moment, man. Eighth grade, I stole a pizza and got caught. And it was my fault. It was my fault we got caught. To those of you subscribed, I appreciate it. If you're listening for the first time, what's good? Make sure you hit that subscribe. Or go ahead and give me a rating. One of the two is greatly appreciated, as always. Real people, real topics, real funny, real talk. It's Truth Pace. Brush up. When will you niggas stop hating on LeBron James? You know what? I'm about to get passionate about this shit one time. I'm so tired of you niggas hating on LeBron James. I'm so tired. I can't tell you how tired I am. I've been awake for, 15 seasons? Really, I've been awake for, let's say, 17 years. You niggas need to stop hating on LeBron James. Excuse me. Let me take that back. All you motherfuckers need to stop hating on LeBron James. For a number of reasons. We're going to talk about the school. We might as well, we can get into that. But let me lay out the track list of this man. Right? And we're not going to talk about on the court stuff too much. And I think that's very important with this conversation. Obviously, we can talk about that, but really, that's a separate conversation. Don't let the magic trick fool you from who the magician is after the show is over. Because you niggas are looking at all of his magic tricks like, yeah, whatever. He ain't Michael Jordan, the Magnificent. The magical Michael Jordan. He's not him. Hey, well, guess what? What if I told you that the magical Michael Jordan was a shitty person after he went home? Y'all don't care. You just like the tricks. Married his high school sweetheart. Let's run it down. Married his high school sweetheart. No infidelity issues in the media. Three kids, two sons, one little girl. Got his little girl's face tattooed on him. I mean, he loves his kids. His oldest son, 14, standout basketball player. Middle son, Bryce, very good basketball player. Never been arrested. Never been caught up in any kind of legal issue. Only running with the law he's ever had was a speeding ticket when I believe he was a rookie driving in that Hummer that you motherfuckers was hating off of. The OG haters were hating off of the Hummer. How's this 18-year-old get this Hummer? Y'all broke. How's he get this Hummer? That don't make no sense. Boy, Stevie Wonder could see that LeBron James was a smart investment. LeBron James walked through your dealership. You look at him and say, sir, I know you're good for it. Let's just put some legal paperwork together to where when you get the funds, you have to pay me. But I know those funds are coming. I'd bet my house on it. I'd bet this dealership on it. I don't understand why people hate on him. Let's talk about the decision. Y'all mad about that still? That my man had a television special to talk about where he was gonna go. Really, only to say that he was gonna go somewhere else. Y'all hating. Why? He had it at a YMCA. All the proceeds made from that event went to the Boys and Girls Club. You don't ask them how they felt about the decision. Ask the kids who got extra funding for some of the programs that they enjoyed that following year, how much they liked the decision. How did it affect them? But nah, y'all just rubbed some type of way. Pause. I don't get it. Why are we still hating on this man? Put all his homies in position to not only be bosses in their own right, but to help him elevate himself so that they can achieve things like opening the I Promise school. Y'all don't get it. Y'all just don't get it. Imagine that. A young man growing up with no father, just his mother, who's battling addiction, moving from place to place to place to place. No siblings, just those two. Finds refuge in the game of basketball. Finds a coach, takes him in, treats him like a son. Helps him learn the game of basketball. Oh, and guess what? This young man is going to grow to be 6'8". And when he's 17, he's probably going to be about 220 pounds. Super athletic, fast, can handle the ball, shoot, pass, dribble. What if I told you that at the age of 18, this young man was going to make the decision to forego college and go straight into the NBA? This coming after 2 years of national notoriety. The pressure starts to build. The comments begin to pour in. Is he the heir apparent to Michael Jordan? As Kobe is busy dominating the league. Will he live up to expectation? Or will he be just another one of these high school busts? God's funny. Somehow makes it to where Cleveland Cavaliers have the number one pick. That's a no-brainer. Ray Charles saw that pick come in. Let's get it. So now the hometown hero comes home. Will he be the one to finally break the drought of championships in the city of Cleveland? I forget for how many seasons he was there, but this man, year after year after year, somehow managed to take the lemons that Cleveland gave him, these unripe, overripe, strangely shaped lemons, and somehow managed to make a lemonade considered one of the best year after year. We can get on the court stuff. How we want to segue into that. Goddamn MacGyver on the basketball court. Think about the teams that were successful in regards to going to the playoffs. Sure, the East is weaker than the West. Fine. But anyone smart would just do math and understand that if you take the equivalent of the strength of schedule for the West, compare it to the East, work out an average, you'd obviously find out that the West is much better than the East. Sure, but based on record, how many of those East teams would make the playoffs if instead of conferences, we just did overall record? I'm here to tell you, LeBron James would make the playoffs with those group of flunkies. I don't know why y'all hating. I really don't. The man leaves after managing to take the Cavs to the finals. With that squad, I have no idea. I believe Eric Snow was the starting point guard. Zydrunas Ilgauskas was the center. Barajal was the four. Who was your three? Who played the three for that team? I want to say Larry Hughes, but I'm probably wrong. And then I don't know who played the two. Listen to those names. That's the squad that went to the NBA Finals, beating the defending champion Detroit Pistons, fam. Y'all don't want to give this man no credit. It's cool. It's cool. The problem that I have, we can talk about on the court stuff, fine. You're just nitpicking, right? You just don't want someone to tell you that there's someone else who has replaced your idol. Jordan is Jordan. No one will ever be Michael Jordan. There will only be one Michael Jordan. No one is better than Michael Jordan because there is only one Michael Jordan. Kobe wasn't as athletic as Mike, but he had the same mentality and ability to score. I'd say LeBron James has the same level of athleticism as Michael Jordan. Only difference is he's 6'8", 250 pounds. He can't shoot like Mike, but I believe his basketball IQ is right there. We can compare in that sense. People who don't play basketball like to make comparisons, and the comparisons that they make are broad. Anyone who understands the game of basketball, you want to talk about truth and facts, there's a lot of similarities. There's more similarities than there are differences. That's why people make the comparisons, dummy. It's not because they want someone to be weaker than the other person. Sure, we're always going to have people in competition, but if you're going to be compared to someone, most likely, it's because there's a lot of similarities. Surprise, surprise. But I'm off that. The man opened a school, people. Jordan never opened no school. Where's the school that Michael Jordan opened? Flight school? You probably got to pay for that. LeBron James has donated millions of dollars to help out inner city youth. He was an inner city youth, and he is giving back millions of dollars already before the school was doing this. Do I need to remind you again? No brush-ins with the law whatsoever. Or run-ins. Brush-ins. The hell is a brush-in? It's a mix between brush-ups and run-ins. No run-ins with the law whatsoever. I don't get it. The I Promise School. Free tuition. Free uniforms. Free bicycle and helmet. Free transportation for any child that lives within a 2-mile radius of the school. Free breakfast, lunch, and snacks. You guys don't understand how many of these kids are sent to school on empty stomachs. You can't work when you're hungry and it's time for lunch. Imagine a child trying to learn and hasn't had breakfast. That's huge. There's a food pantry for families. If you ain't got it, they may have it. And if this is going to help you get through the next day or two, so that your kid can eat and be ready to come to school and learn? Great. Takes it a next step. GED and job placement services for the parents. Fam. I don't get it. Not only are the kids being looked out for, but the parents are getting looked out for too. Guaranteed tuition to the University of Akron, Ohio, for any student who graduates. Are you, come on. Now, here's the crazy part. I can barely get this shit out because this is the part that I found out late. That just in itself, right? Like, I'd been kind of keeping up with the I Promise School a little bit. I remember a while back there was mentionings of it. I didn't really keep up with, like, how this shit was being put together. I don't know if any of that stuff was released. But the part that I found out late was that, one, this is a public school, which is crazy. I don't know how that happens. I know, like, logistically, it's got to be crazy to put something like that together. I could understand if you had a charter school or a private school. I think Deion Sanders has a charter school, and I think Jalen Rose is opening. It might be a charter school or it might be private. I'm not sure. But a public school is much different because I know you got to work with the school district in some facet to make that happen. But the part that stands out the most to me, outside of that entire list of things I just went through, is that this school is mainly for children who are potentially going to be held back, right? Or kids who, you know, have already been held back, right? What you would deem as your problem children or your at-risk students. Really, the students that the system just throws to the side. To keep it 100. The kid that quote-unquote doesn't want to learn. Or is quote-unquote a disruption. Or has trouble staying attentive. For all these outside factors that no one ever seems to take into consideration. You know why I can't pay attention? Because I'm hungry. You know why I've missed 15 days of school in a row? Because my mom is strung out and someone has to stay home to take care of my 2-year-old sister. You're 12 having to do that shit. I believe LeBron James, for a similar, not a similar reason, like, you know, he wasn't taking care of a baby, but he was in, he was going to potentially be kicked out of school or expelled because he had missed so many days of school in a school year. Like, I think he had missed like a third of the school year. And a lot of that had to deal with his mother dealing with addiction. Like, it's real stories. Like, that's enough. Like, I don't get why people still hate on this. How can you still hate on LeBron James? This man has continued to overcome every obstacle that life has thrown him. If you were to be put in the same predicament as he was, could you survive and could you excel? Not only could you live up to the expectations, but could you meet and exceed those expectations? He has. The only reason people are critical of him is because they probably get paid to do it. Or because they just have to find something. There isn't a lot. Got that big Nike deal so his family is straight. You want to get back on the court? Goes to Miami, teams up with his best friend. At least that, you know, his best work friend. right? I don't know if that's his best friend, but his best work friend, right? Teams up with an organization to learn how to win a championship, to figure out what is it that I've been missing in order for me to be successful at this next level. I need to win a championship. That's my next goal. So how do I do it? Paid internship. Well paid at that. But paid internship in Miami. Shit, you would take it. Over here fronting like you wouldn't move to Miami if somebody was going to pay you a good amount of money to teach you how to do what it is that you love to do. Get the fuck out of here. Stop hating on LeBron James. Goes down there, wins two championships. Sure, should have won more, whatever. But he went down there, achieved essentially what it was that he went to do. Goes back home to the original organization that he was trying to be successful with. He had learned what it was needed. He had learned what was needed in order to reach that goal. He moves back, they make it happen. Brings a championship back to Cleveland. First time in what, like 50 years or something like that? LeBron James and that team. Nah, hold on. LeBron James and Kyrie Irving helped bring a championship to the city of Cleveland. Let's keep it a buck. Kyrie. No, with no Kyrie, there's no championship. I promise you that. But with no LeBron James, I don't know if that team makes the playoffs. Because that team wasn't making the playoffs when it was just Kyrie. Just saying. He's a whole nother situation. Kyrie cold as shit. He's one of my favorite players, but he's a whole nother situation in itself. But anyway, then LeBron, after bringing a championship back to an organization who has an owner who's a bitch. Let's keep it funky. Dan Gilbert is a bitch. Really, because of that letter. If you feel some type of way about what I just said, think about it this way. Imagine if you broke up with your partner. And after you broke up with your partner and they left, your partner posts on social media this long ass post, which you tagged in it, talking shit. Is your partner a bitch or not? Thank you. And this is the owner of the organization that you're with. LeBron swallows his pride and goes back. How many of y'all could do that? Okay, then. Let's keep it going. So he brings the championship back. And now he decides to move to Los Angeles. He's been playing, I think it's like, 15 seasons or something like that? I mean, it's this move, sure. It's not, I personally don't think it's a move for like a bunch of championships. I think he'll be able to squeeze out one more, which in a sense is going to put him in a different kind of conversation. I don't care what you say. If LeBron James manages to bring a championship to Los Angeles, I believe he'll be the first player to ever win three championships with three different teams. And then we got to figure out how we look at that in regards to like greatness and importance. Since everyone wants to do those comparisons, right? He does that. Does that make him better than Kobe? Some Kobe fans would be like, no. If he does that make him better than Jordan? Obviously, some people would say no. It is what it is, right? It adds on to the conversation. But I really think that that decision was made for his family. So how could you be mad? I lived in LA for a few years. Yeah, if I had LeBron James money, fucking right, I'm living in Los Angeles. What? If I'm LeBron James, I'm moving to LA. I get pretty much whatever I want. I am in the city of stars, and I am potentially the biggest star in this city. All right, welcome back. Sorry about that. Ran into some weird technical difficulty. Just stopped recording for whatever reason. But like I was saying, if I'm LeBron James and I'm the biggest star in Los Angeles, why wouldn't I want to make that move? Like, think about what comes with that. There was a report a few weeks ago from Colin Cowherd, however you pronounce that last name, where he had a meeting with Leonardo, or I guess a dinner with Leonardo DiCaprio and Al Pacino. You ain't doing that in, you know what I mean? You ain't doing that in Cleveland. Not on the regular. Definitely not doing that on the regular. There was also reports that homie had like over, yeah, like a dozen like movie deals or something like that. He's already working on a TV show with Showtime. Fam, like, why wouldn't you want to take that next step? You're LeBron James. I won a championship in Miami. I came back and won a championship for Cleveland. I made, you know, as much money as I could in the league, you know, in regards to how, you know, cats were getting paid. Now I'm about to get, I finally am getting my big contract. I just opened, I'm getting ready to open a school. Like, yeah, it's time to take it to the next level. And if you're LeBron James, what is that next level? It's easy, man. Next level's Hollywood. Entertainment. You ain't gonna be able to hoop forever. He knows that. We still don't understand how he's been able to hoop so well at the age he's at. That's the shit that doesn't make any sense. But at some point, he's gonna have to stop hooping. But let's say this fool has dominated the entertainment industry while he's still playing ball. Like, that sound like some shit he would do. For real, for real. I don't know, man. It makes a lot of sense. And I don't understand why we're hating. He's done everything right. And the part that annoys me the most about people hating on him is that he is the perfect example of what a role model should be. Perfect example. And it wasn't until this man had to open a damn school that it felt like the news started giving him some credit for doing some shit other than being dynamic on the basketball court. And even in that respect, they were still uber critical of him and his game. Almost to the point where it tarnished his character. Like, how can you not separate the two? There's the basketball player, there is the man. Both are as equally great. Some would say. I would say that the man is greater than the basketball player. And the basketball player is one of the greatest of all time. Arguably, the greatest basketball player of all time. Yet it feels like this man's image somewhat gets tarnished because of all the criticism he gets based on his play on the court. My thing is don't miss out on an incredible role model because you can't get over
the decision. You can't get over flopping. You can't get over whatever the hell it is you can't get over. And you're missing out on this incredible basketball player. You really are. You really, really are. You're missing out on one of the greatest basketball players to have ever played the game. Simply because of some shit you can't ignore. And then what's going to happen is you're going to miss out on one of the greatest human beings we've ever seen. And what I mean by that is this man has taken his platform. And how can you say he hasn't used his platform the best way possible? You can't say that. Speaks out about social injustice. Is a part of the players' union to make sure the players are straight. All the other things I listed earlier. Like, come on, man. For real. We need to stop hating on LeBron James, especially if you are black. If you're hating on LeBron James and you're black, shame on you. For contributing to tarnishing the character and the greatness of one of our living heroes. We all talk about how, oh, there's no more Martins, there's no more Malcolms, we don't have any more leaders. Well, that's because times have changed and leaders have taken different forms. I think we're looking at one of ours. And the sooner we can get over the whole basketball shit, the sooner we can understand that this man has the right mindset. We all need to get behind him and elevate this man. Not on the basketball court. He's fine there. We've seen that. When it comes to his philanthropy, when it comes to him speaking out about social injustices, we need to elevate this man rather than be critical of him based around our thoughts on how he is on a basketball court. Because I tell you what, to some people, you talk shit about his ability on the basketball court, some of those same people believe that that plays into the character of the man, which is not true at all. But it all depends on who you're asking, right? It's just crazy, man. Don't let one of our black heroes die based on some stupid shit. It ain't worth it. It really ain't worth it.
There's some stories that I want to share, but at the same time don't want to share, either because of the statute of limitation or just because maybe it's not funny. Some of them are funny to me, but they may not be funny to you because you may not have, I don't really know how to put this. You may not have struggled enough to see the humor in it. Like, if you don't see the humor in, like, fried bologna sandwiches and heating your house with the stove, then some of these stories probably won't be funny to you. They might be sad, which is okay. It is what it is, you know, but for those who have gone through it, it's something that we can laugh about. This story is one that probably isn't one of my highlights. I'll say it that way. It's not one of my greatest highlights. It's a story of, how old was I? Eighth grade. It's the pizza story. Stole the pizza. So, for those of you who've been listening from the beginning, you understand the middle school that I went to. And the middle school that I went to was a little different. we called our teachers by our first names. They had us in these different kind of programs and clubs and shit, like just all these things were available to us. So, but for those of you, I guess, who are listening for the first time, what our school used to do is they used to have these programs and these ideas and ways to try to get the kids to come together and hang out with one another. And Pizza Topics was one of these things. So Pizza Topics was, it was like 2 months out of the year, every week, one day a week, they'd get like 8 or 10 kids in a room. They'd try to get two of each grade, so 2 8th graders, 2 6th graders, and 2 7th graders. I don't know why I did in that order. They'd get them all in a room, and we'd talk about some topic that was on paper, and it was kind of a way to get us to know one another, but I also think it was a way for the faculty to see if, like, any of us were having issues at home. And so they'd order, like, 4 Domino's pizzas, and we just eat pizzas and answer these questions, and it'd be current event topics, or it'd be like, how are you adjusting to school type thing. Just, you never know, but you only did it once, and you always, when you knew like Pizza Topics were rolling around, you were kind of waiting like, okay, yeah, mine's about to come. Like, you start to figure out if they're going last name first or first name last. And then me, I'm in the middle, so it never mattered to me. Like, I was always going to be in the middle no matter what. So one day, this is probably the second week of Pizza Topics, and it's crazy when, like, all of a sudden you just see 4 pizzas just come strolling into your classroom, and it's about to be lunchtime, and you're like, oh, man. And you know it's not your Pizza Topic day. You're just like, man, for you, you know, you're a hater because you definitely want some of that pizza. So I walk out of my class. I'm walking down the hall to go down to the bathroom. I hear out of a classroom, hey, Joe. Hey, Joe. I look, it's my guy, Elgin. Like, what? what do you want? Like, he's in his class. I don't know what class it was. He's like, hey, man, let's take the pizza. Man, you're tripping. So I go to the bathroom. I come out, Elgin's out of the bathroom. He's like, hey, man. Or he's out of the classroom. He's like, hey, man, let's take the pizza. I'm like, fool, I'm not about to take this pizza. Like, no. The class that he was in, the teacher was an older dude, kind of wasn't all the way there. So he's the perfect victim to get his pizza stolen. And so Elgin's like, yeah, let's take the pizza. I'm telling him no. Like, first off, where are we going to go? Like, he's like, I'm going to run into the commons. The commons was this space next to the hall. So I guess if you could imagine like a typical classroom. So down the hall on one side, you've got classrooms. And then on the other side, you would have classrooms. But we didn't have that. On the other side, on this third floor, we had an open space that had couches, tables, chairs, some computers. It was the common area for all of us to just hang out and do work or whatever in. So he's like, I'm going to run into the commons, drop the pizza off, you grab it, and then run to the bathroom. What? You want me to run to the bathroom? He's like, yeah. And so I'm kind of like, that's a dumb idea. I'm not doing that shit. And so I go back to class. Elgin be playing all the time, right? So I don't know if he's being serious or if he's joking, but you never know with him. So I go back to class. Class ends. I got a class. Something tells me to go to the commons. I just want to see if he's really going to do this shit, right? So I walk over to the commons. 1-1000. 2-1000. Oh, yeah. He didn't take the pizza. That's what I thought. All of a sudden, comes bursting through the doorway, Elgin holding this goddamn pizza, right? He hands it off to me, and now I'm not prepared for this. Like, I wasn't thinking he was really gonna do it. And so now I got the pizza, and I'm like, oh shit, I gotta do something with it. So all I remember is him saying, go to the bathroom. So the boys' bathroom you can't obviously can't go to the one on the same floor, so you got to go downstairs to go down to that one. So my dumbass, in a panic, I grab the pizza, run the opposite direction, carrying the pizza, running down the stairs. Why didn't go to the stairs that were like a third of that distance? I have no idea. Probably wasn't thinking straight. So then I go down those stairs. The problem with going down that way, not only is that I have to go by people on the first floor, is that now on the second floor, I have to sprint all the way down to the other end of the hall because all of the boys' bathrooms were on one side of the building on every single floor, and all of the girls' bathrooms were on the same side of the building on every single floor. So it wasn't like staggered at all. So I'm sprinting down the other end with the pizza. This is like, Elgin's hot. Like, why are you running down the other end? Like, I'm telling him, like, I didn't know you were gonna take the pizza. Like, you really took that shit. He was like, yeah, I told you I was gonna take that shit. So now that that's over, we're like in the bathroom. I'm just like, fuck it, man. All right, well, I'm gonna grab one. I'm gonna go tell Brady about it. You can tell Taylor, Zach, you know, whoever. So we grab one, leave. I go tell Brady because obviously he saw me sprinting with a pizza. He's like, what the hell was that about? I'm just like, hey, man, you know, me, you know, Elgin grabbed the pizza, gave it to me, told me to run with it. I just wasn't thinking. I ran the opposite way. Like, he thinks the shit is hilarious that I just fucked this whole thing up. But I, you know, I told him about it. He went to the bathroom, grabbed a piece. He went and told one other person. Elgin did the same. So, boom, lunch is over. Nothing. So, I'm in class, and I've got an idea of who was everyone that ate the pizza. One person ate two pieces, greedy little bastard. But I'm in class, and I have an idea of who, like, knew about the pizza. So when I hear, boop, I'm not going to say their names. I'll just say, boop, person number one, please come to the principal's office. I'm like, I don't think it was the principal's office. It was like, just come to the office. So I was like, that's interesting. But nah, it could be, you know what I mean? It could be anything. So then like 10 minutes later, boop, person number two, please come to the office. And now I'm like, oh no. Oh no, this isn't good. This isn't good. And then I hear, boop, person number one, B, come to the office. I'm saying B because that's Elgin's side. I'm like, oh no. Damn. So now I'm over here like, oh man, I gotta get it together. Like, I gotta get my story together in case this shit gets to me, because it's getting hot right now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fucked up about it. I'm trying to figure out, like, damn, what the fuck am I about to do? And so I'm trying to stay calm, but I'm confident. You know what I mean? I'm confident in Elgin. I'm confident in, you know, our last lines of defense. Mine being Brady. I think his being Zach. And so then you hear, boop, Brady, please come to the office. I'm like, damn. Mind you, person number three has already gone up. I think person number two on Elgin's side has gone up. It's watching like a real like investigation unfold, and you're the head of a criminal enterprise, and it's all falling down in front of you. And so as it gets closer, you're trying to put your story together and just think like, what the hell am I about to say? Because you don't know what the problem was, is that all of us weren't in the same class. So I couldn't be like, you know, hey, like, you know, give him that big eye look like, what's up? Like, is it all good? What's happening? You know, because they come in the class and sometimes they'd be like, hey, you need to go to the office. And it's the silent one, because that's how they got number three. Number three was just like, hey, you need to go to the office. It's like, ooh, they're doing it like that now. Like, they're turning the sirens off on us now. Like, ooh, they're about to bust through the door. And so eventually, boop, Elgin, please come to the office. I'm like, shit, it's just a matter of time. So now, mind you, I'm in eighth grade. Now I'm trying to like, trying to toughen up and like get this stone type of demeanor, because I know I'm about to have to talk and like give my side of the story of what happened. And so now I'm over here like just waiting. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just waiting for my time to get called. And so after Elgin, I get called in. You know, Joseph, please come to the office. I'm like, all right, yeah. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm about to take the stand. You know what I mean? Like, do you solemnly swear right hand type shit? And I gotta do my thing. And so I go into at this point the real principal was on leave, and we had a standing principal who happened to be my fifth grade teacher. I'm in eighth grade, so this is my fifth grade teacher, and he was kind of a tough dude to read. You know what I mean? Like, he was pretty strict. It wasn't like he was gonna have any leniency. Like, I knew like it was gonna be a tough time with him. Elgin had to talk to Miss Scott. Miss Scott was this with heels on, she was this like 6'2" black woman who, you know, didn't take no shit. For real, super nice lady, but didn't take no shit. I was hoping I could get her, because I feel like I could have finessed her a little bit more. Elgin got her, so I was okay with that. But I felt like he could have finessed Tal a little bit better, because he never had him as a student. And so, he never had him as a teacher. And so I get into Tal's Talbot's office, and he's like, we know what you did. We know everything. I'm laughing because it was so dramatic. It's like, we know everything. You might as well just tell us what happened. And I'm looking at him like, you must think I'm stupid that I'm just going to give it up like that. Right? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, we know you took the pizza. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't take any pizza. And it was like, someone took a pizza out of David's classroom. And then someone took that pizza to the boys' bathroom. And a bunch of people ate that pizza. And we know you were a part of it. I said, look, I don't know why you think I was a part of it, but I didn't have anything to do with it. And so now he's just kind of like, he's trying back and forth. I'm just like, it's not. I'm going to lie the whole way through. And you're not. These little tactics that you're trying aren't going to work, bro. Like, I've got black parents, like. You gotta be slicker than that. Try to get me caught up in this. Like, you're coming in weak compared to the shit I gotta deal with at home, right? And so then he pulls the move. He puts me, Elgin, him, and Miss Scott all in Miss Scott's office together, right? And now he's like, let's compare notes. And I'm like, oh man, like, he's trying, because I don't know what Elgin said. I don't know what Elgin said, and I just have to kind of roll with what Elgin has going on. And so as they're talking to us, it sounds like more of my side gave it up than Elgin's side. And at this point, I'm thinking like, all right, Elgin sounds like someone just named him in this shit, but it sounds like my guys really just pinned this shit on me. And so at this point, we're just going back and forth. So I'm just like, all right, I took it. You know what I'm saying? I'll take it. I'll sit down for it. You know what I'm saying? I was like, but I don't know why Elgin's here. He didn't have anything to do with it. And Elgin's kind of looking at me like, why don't you keep lying? I'm looking at him like, whatever, man. Like, it's over. Like, they talk to everybody. Like, I'll just take, I'm kind of thinking like, I'll just take the hit for it. Like, it is what it is. Like, really, because I dropped the ball on the plan. If I would have went to the right way, maybe it wouldn't have made such a commotion, and it wouldn't have been so noticeable. and maybe we could have lied a little bit better and possibly gotten away with it, but I'm just like, whatever, I'll take it for what it is. And so now they're like, okay, well, we're gonna have to suspend you, and we're gonna have to suspend Elgin. And Elgin's like, why are you gonna have this? Why are you suspending me? And they're like, well, I mean, you obviously had something to do with it too. And I'm like, he didn't have anything to do with it. It was just me. And then all those other guys, they ate the pizza too. And they're like, well, they said that Elgin had something to do with it too. And I'm like, oh my God. And so we ended up getting suspended. I got suspended. I got sent home for the day. I got suspended for a day. And I had to miss one trip, a ski bus. For those of you who've listened to the podcast, you know what ski bus is. So I end up having to miss ski bus. My nigga, getting suspended was like, whatever. Getting suspended was like, whatever. But when I tell you, I was shook waiting for my mom to come get me, to pick me up, to have to tell her this shit. Oh my God. I knew it was a wrap for me. I knew. As soon as she got me in the car, she just lit my ass up. I have never, to this day, I have never seen my mom go off on me like that. Really go off like that ever. Like, she went off and I felt terrible. And then what made it even worse is that my mom has four sisters, and I had to talk to every single one of them on the phone and tell them what I did. They already knew. As soon as she found out, you know, she hit all of them and told them. So then I had to talk to all of them throughout the day, and they were lighting my ass up on the phone too. Like, they give me, like, you know, they'd be nice at the end, but man, they let me have it in the beginning, man. And then finally I had to go to my grandma's house, and luckily my grandma, that's my dog, she didn't really like go off on me. She kind of just asked me about it, you know, and was like, you know, why'd you do it? And I was like, I wanted some pizza. And she was like, what do you mean you wanted pizza? I was like, I wanted some pizza. Like, the cafeteria food is nasty, and I didn't really know that he was gonna take the pizza. It's just that it was there, it was happening. I kind of just took it and ran. She was like, well, she was like, I'm not gonna say I'm like mad or disappointed. She was like, I understand you just made a dumb choice. She's like, you just have to make smarter decisions, which was nice, because it was like, oh, thank God. Like, because if she would have been hurt, I would have been devastated. But I at least could explain the story to her, and she at least hear me out and be like, okay, I can understand the situation a little bit. That's why I love my grandma. But yeah, man. Fuck, the pizza story. Not my proudest moment at all. Kids, don't steal.